If Ajahn Chah were to appear here tonight, what are a couple of questions you would ask him? Yeah, well, I mean, there's because it was many days ago when I said that. Would have something I missed or regretted not asking questions. I think, basically anything. Just getting those questions going and just something, because we used to. Sometimes when we'd sit around and talk with him, because it'd be just for him to start explaining and talking, but particularly in ways of working with the mind and ways of perceiving attachment and relinquishment, and also different aspects of experience, because he also there's many things that he experienced, but he never really talked about or conveyed, because he didn't think it was particularly useful or necessary for practice. And some are, just kind of, maybe a bit frivolous, but it's still interesting, in the sense of, I remember one time, and he'd never talk about different. Beings and different planes of existence. It wasn't really a part of his teaching style. And then I was sitting with him one day, and a man came who was a student of his. He'd been practicing with him, and then when he a few years after that, when he retired, he was a railroad engineer, and when he retired, he came and ordained with Ajahn Chah. Good practice. Anyway, he had a question from Ajahn Chah. Nobody else was around, and he had a question about some particular ghost spirit that. This person had experienced, and that had said that it came from Wat Bapaum, came from Ajahn Chah's monastery. And so he asked, was that real? Was that true? And then Ajahn Chah sat down and said, oh yeah, and then he's told him where he lived in the monastery, who his friends were, who he was associated with, what his background was, this whole cast of characters that lived at Wat Bapaum, and then the person left, and then just right after that, this group of Thai people came. They showed up and they asked, as oftentimes happens in conversation, is it true that devas really exist? Is it true that there are ghosts? And Ajahn Chah sort of looked at him and said, if I told you, would you believe me? And they said, oh, yes, of course, Limpa. He said, then you're really stupid. The Buddha never taught anybody to believe what somebody else said. And that was it. That was how we... So, that's kind of fascinating. And it's beyond, say, mine or most Westerners' experience. And just to know that there's this being able to view the world in a different way. There's also another time when Ajahn Chah went to visit his teacher, and he took a novice with him, And they were sitting and talking, and sort of his Ajahn Chah's teacher was getting pretty old then, and Ajahn Chah was older, and then the novice was he's kind of bored, and these two old guys sitting talking, and he's gonna get and it's kind of drifting and nodding, and then he heard his teacher, Ajahn Chah's teacher, sort of ask Ajahn Chah, he said, and how's it? How's your practice maybe the best way to say astral travel? How's that? Have you been working with that lately? And so Ajahn Chah started talking, explaining what he'd been doing, but it's something that there'd be no mention of that in his teaching or his. And if his teacher hadn't asked, then he would never have. You'd never hear about it. So that there's the possibilities of the mind. How to really hold really skillful concentration. How to investigate in ways, because then when somebody's developed their mind to that degree, then the skills that have been there's that maturity and experience in so many different facets that to be able to ask questions more about that, because it's so rare to come across a teacher who has that degree of skill, and of course never really asked and never really thought to ask.